you have no other choice. You have to stay positive and find a solution somehow. I mean, being angry about some stuff or just be desperate doesn't help anyone. So stay positive and stay flexible. Flexible, very important. Moin friends, Tandempane here. As you can maybe hear, it's heavily raining here in Tokyo, but I think the sound is cool, so just keep the window open and hope it's not that disturbing. And it's been really a while, and many things happened, and I don't think I have the time to list all of them, but I try to sum up the highlights of the last weeks, or even more than a month now, from the back to the last recording. And we were at a Japanese rock bar, and that was interesting and funny to see how the young people can go out there, be themselves, and yeah, don't letting their Japanese shell fall apart. So it was great to see that. And at working, the biggest challenges I would say are still communication problems. So with English also, that I don't get everything from the conversations or don't understand everything. And also, I'm not sure, maybe they also don't understand completely what I'm trying to say. But it's getting better, I would say. And one tip is, if you want to explain something, just draw. I think with drawing is one of the easiest things you can do, so that the rate of misunderstandings getting or decreases. And yeah, but I'm getting used to it. I think it's getting better, and what isn't that problematic like in the beginning, but still there are communication problems. But you learn with every new aspect which surprises you at the beginning. And another highlight is that I could meet different online friends here from language exchange sites, mostly from a conversation exchange, and also met Cynthia, with whom I already have some episodes here and practiced with her Spanish a long time ago, and we could finally meet in Tokyo, which is funny, a place you never expect to where we would ever meet. But yeah, it was short, just 2 hours, but still was able to see her. And also had some other exchanges with some Japanese people, and also with some international people who are working and studying here, which was very interesting to actually have an exchange. I don't know, it's difficult here to actually get to know people. From the lab we go out once, but not that much. And yeah, so it's great to have that options with language learning and conversation exchange. And we were at places where you normally don't go alone because you don't know these places, like special izakayas where you have to know Japanese, otherwise it's very difficult. We also experienced Japanese karaoke, which is great and very different from the German version, and a Japanese traditional tea house. Very interesting, that experience. So this, maybe some of you have this typical atmosphere or picture in your mind, and it was great to experience that. And Yeah, today I want to try to give a little bit of insight from my understanding so far, from the talks I've had with the others, and also from my own observations about the Japanese being. I don't know if that's the right term, but let's call it like that. And generally, so from the lab, as you know, people from the lab can't compare it with everyone, but I try to somehow put my observings into words. And of course, it's not general for everyone, but yeah, I have to talk about that. And yeah, they're generally very shy, and but very patient in general, I would say. Patient, respectful, and there was experiences from the people who work in the city hall where we have to do these registrations. I think in Germany everyone would be pissed because you can't speak the language, you don't know anything, you're just slow. And yeah, here it's not that a big deal, and everyone was very patient at you, and this was great. Can't expect that from Germany, so it was great to see that people are so helpful in that. But one thing I've also learned is from another guy, I forgot from whom, but he said that Japanese people normally don't ask for help, and they also normally don't expect you to need help or something like that. That's what I also could see in the lab. Yeah, if you're on a new machine, never work with the machine, and nobody helps you, they expect you to figure it out somehow. And yeah, we had many difficulties, problems, and at the end it could be solved if someone who has more experience as well. It was a problem that you could have known if you worked longer with that. Yeah, it took us more than a day to find it out. These are the small things where, yeah, sometimes you are left alone, and but yeah, that's no problem so far if you have the clue. But there again, communication problems. And also, I don't know if I talked about it last time, but I call it the invisible wall. So sometimes I have the feeling that there's an invisible wall, so between us and the other Japanese students, so with us I mean the German students here, actually we are not very international, so the international students in the labs are all Germans, which is sad, but it is how it is. But without them, I think it would be very lonely. And yeah, so somehow we hang out in our group and they hang out in their group. So it's not an optimal setting. And yeah, I think get into that group is very difficult somehow. But it's also the same in Germany, I would say. So but maybe it's easier to get into the group, and here, yeah, it's difficult. And they are also closed up, so they are not very opened. And yeah, also I'm not the best person to break these barriers and make connections, I admit, but still it's hard. And generally what I can observe is that people who were abroad are really more open-minded. And the people I've met on conversations exchange so far, or except for one, they were mostly were abroad or have experiences there. And also one amigo from Spain told us that, yeah, he has a feeling that if people are abroad, or Japanese people are abroad, let their Japanese be there, and come back with a more open mindset, so they're more open to talk and open themselves more up to new people or other people. Yeah, I know, man. Why just talk about the negative things? That's not good. But yeah, actually, I don't know. There's no good and bad in general. So what may sound good or bad, in my opinions, may be good and bad, or experience differently with other people. So that's what I've seen so far. And yeah, one thing or one concept which was very interesting, I wrote down that term. It's hone and tatame. Tateme? Tatame. I don't know. Hone and tateme. I hope the pronunciation was okay. That's what one of our Japanese exchanges told me. Is hone are the real feelings and wishes, and tatame are the opinions and all its interactions you show in the public. And that may be one of the reasons why it's hard to read Japanese people or what they really think. So in some conversations, or for example in work, you don't know if that's good what you're presenting or discussing. So I have to ask again and again. And that's one thing I'm still figuring out. I'm still figuring all these Japanese being out. It's very difficult for me to actually, yeah, put that in words and also have a feeling for that. I think it's getting better, but still, in some situations, it's difficult to tell. And I mean, in general, if that's the person's like being like that, or it's a cultural thing. But in general, these are the things which also from the conversations with the others are special and you have in mind when you interacting with Japanese people. And so far, I would say that also one problem is the language. We don't speak Japanese, so, and I found out, or one of my big learnings so far is that language is like magic, really. So language learning is for communicating, and is really important, because if you listen to them how they speak English with us, and if you listen how they speak Japanese with each other, completely other word. So because of the limitations, because we are strangers and they can't say it in that way what they want to say, and that's why this barrier is natural, I would say. And combined with their shyness and closeness, I would call it, it's makes it even harder to, yeah, build a connection with them. And yeah, and language is really magic, because I can speak Vietnamese and I could talk with a group of Vietnamese people who I know also from another friend from conversation exchange, which is funny. And when, so I also was with a German friend there, so when we're talking English, you could really feel this barrier or the limitations of expressions. And because I could speak Vietnamese, I could feel that the barrier is getting away much faster. So you're able to speak about things which are more interesting and move away from the small talk area. And yeah, that's one thing I could really feel at that moment, that language is like magic, like a key to people's soul. I don't know. Yeah, this is too trashy right now, but I hope you know what I mean. So it's a great tool to use to build connection, and really it's great to be able. Yeah, I wish I could speak Japanese. That would make things much more easier. But dealing with also in a country where you don't speak the language is also an experience which is interesting. So I don't know if how people are doing this, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago or 10 years ago. So, I mean, mostly we use Google Translator. It's life-saving, I guess. And without that, I don't know how we can handle it here, because everything is in, of course, in Japanese, and we can't read it. And yeah, it's actually a great tool. So let's say making these international things weren't easier than now with all the technology. And still there are barriers you have to counter if you don't speak the language. And yeah, another big learning so far, I would call it patient communication. So making your own interests clear and try to, yeah, you have to make more steps. Always a question of repetition, so that you have, when you have the feeling that the other side get it, then it's good. But of course you don't actually know if the other person understands you, what you wanted to say. And yeah, it's just a matter of asking questions again, asking questions in another direction to kindly get a feeling if it's understood correctly, and repetition and drawing. Drawing is also great, as I mentioned before. Yeah, so be patient, repeat yourself, although it sounds maybe boring for them if they get it, but still, makes in that way you make sure that the other side get it. And also, yeah, I was also afraid always to ask questions if I don't get it, but here I don't have any other choice. So don't be afraid of doing that. Yeah, sometimes I have the feeling here, if I ask too much questions, they have the feeling that their English is not good, but it's also maybe because of me, because I don't get it simply. And yeah, I have to find a balance between that. And well, yeah, that's difficult, but I try to sum it up in my own words and then ask them if I understand it right. So I think that's more elegant to do it like that. And another big learning is for me staying positive and being flexible. Was never that important like here. So things don't go as planned. Actually, you can't plan many things in the lab. So you can plan, but most of the time they don't go according to plan, or things don't go according to plan. And but it's also in like in real work life. So you do much plans. So but in the end there are many new variables which you don't have considered or just don't know from the beginning. So easier things which surprises you, where you say, okay, in Germany it would be blah blah blah, but no, you don't have to think like that. You have to be really opened and be flexible. So and learn from that experiences, I think this was interesting too. So, so if someone says we do it tomorrow, doesn't mean that we do it tomorrow in the morning, but a little bit later, for example. So very flexible in the work time also. So they also work until night, which is crazy. But yeah, that's the working mentality here. So can talk about that in another episode. But yeah, it's, you have no other choice. You have to stay positive and find a solution somehow. I mean, being angry about some stuff or just be desperate doesn't help anyone. So stay positive and stay flexible. Flexible, very important. I was never that flexible in thinking and reacting like here so far, I would say. And yeah, I read somewhere or heard somewhere that if a problem occurs, so for example, it's raining now, it stops actually, I think. Don't get sad. Try to learn to dance in the rain. So try to, yeah, handle the situation and in a maybe new way. That's what we're trying to do here. I think it's a great lesson to do that. If things don't work, the machine doesn't work, if there's some, yeah, paperwork or coordination aspects took longer than you expect them to do, and if some informations are missing and which are very important and you find it 2 weeks out later, stuff like that, you have to handle it somehow. And yeah, but I would say also in normal life or normal working culture, maybe it's more predictable if you have more experiences, but if you start, same. And here's more interesting because of the language. And yeah, another learning so far for me is time and moments. So I have a restricted amount of time here. And I'm aware of it every day, every single day. I was like, oh man, time is going by so fast. But thinking like that is not good, I would say. So it makes you not, yeah, especially in the beginning, in the beginning, it was just like a rush. You're feeling the days are just going by and you're just experiencing, absorbing the environment, the information, and then you're so tired, you go to sleep, and then you can't sleep and just are more tired. Yeah, but now it's more like, okay, I'm more than the half of my time now, so I'm 2 months here, and still 1.5 months to go, and yeah, I'm now feeling the time pressure, like so much things to do, and still so much things I want to experience and visit. I don't have the time. And yeah, thinking like that makes you less free, I would say. So try not to think about that and just living the moments now. Just saying to myself, it's okay if you have a day where you're just doing nothing because you're so tired. Just relax and yeah, try to enjoy the moments. It's easier said than done. Every time think, yeah, don't have to think about it, just enjoy the moment. And by already thinking about that, make you less be present in the moment. But still, it's one of the possible best options to do so. So try to do that. Don't think too much about time. And yeah, I think also being grateful for experiencing that you are able to experience that and take that experiences with you later. And don't be too sad that it's over soon. These are things I have to learn.
still not good at it, but I'm aware of it. That's good. And yeah, that's nearly it for today. So I told you what happened so far, or I tried to. More things happened, but I don't remember them now. So just listed 3 points. Try to talk about about the Japanese being, which is not that easy. It's a difficult topic, actually. And still, I don't know. Think I understand it somehow. And yeah, these are the observations from talking with other people and from observing myself. But still, I'm just in the lab, so I don't really have an insight in the working environment, in the real working environment, which would be interesting, how people interact there. And yeah, talk with you guys about my big learnings so far. And to conclude this, I would just say, yeah, I'm going through some random facts which I experienced in the last times. So would be just random. Let's see what I have here. So if you had a shrine, so from the amigo, he told us that if near a temple shrine thing you see torii, so these gates, so I don't know, maybe you know these famous orange torii gates, if there's one like that, it's a shrine, otherwise it's a temple. The exactly difference is we don't know, but and if you see a torii, you don't go directly through it, you go through the side, so on the left or on the right. I think it's both are equal, but you don't go through the gate or through the torii. How did he explain? It was funny. And you take yourself too important if you go through the torii. So that's funny. So go on the side of the torii. And if the roofs are kind of going up a little bit at the edges, it's a Chinese or Taiwanese temple thing. And if it's flat, so normal roof, it's Japanese. Just heard it from someone, Japanese person. And you don't drink or eat while you're walking. That shows that you're not calm. You have to be calm. So don't do that. But if you're in a street where they sell food, it's okay. That's also interesting for me. And in public, you don't sit on your butt. The amigo told us the most thing you could see when people want rest is that they knee down, so on the legs, so they're going down, like doing these you just knee down, but you're still on your feet and rest in that position, which is also not resting for me, because I don't know, I can't hold it that long. But sitting, just sitting at the ground, you don't do that. Or it's not done and in the public. Another topic, alcohol. Very interesting topic. So alcohol is a method where you can open, or Japanese people are more open to you after that. So that's great measure. Or great method. And yeah, they're also aware of it. So they say if you want to talk to the students, yeah, put some sake to it, and then the atmosphere will be easier. And I don't know, in one Taiwanese girl told me that especially on Friday nights in Shibuya and Shinjuku, people tend to drink very much to relieve their stress, and then they behave like not Japanese, the typical Japanese person you have in your mind now. So that's also very interesting. I haven't experienced that. One famous place, one of the Swiss guys told us, is Takadano Baba. I still don't know what that place is exactly, but yeah, the greatest things happened. Or the most drunk people, I don't know. But great stories. And I don't know if I want to see it or want to go there, but we saw some very drunk people in the subway. So some truth is there, I think. So at the weekend. And what else? So maybe the last thing, which may be interesting, if you ever get a card, business card, from a Japanese person, you should take it with two hands, read it with interest, and don't put it away directly, but put it on the table next to you. And of course, I didn't know that and messed it up. Put it with one hand, with my other hand I was talking with someone else. So the most disrespectful behavior you could show. And the man was definitely confused, I would say. And yeah, and later the Swedish guy told us, yeah, you shouldn't do that, man. That's so disrespectful. Yeah. And you see all the things, all these small little codes, just learned them from people from abroad. So yeah, these are the small hacks you have to know, or so far I observe or get to know. And yeah, I think that's it for today. As always, thank you for listening, and yeah, see you in the next time. Bye. That's it for today's episode. If you like this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on the Apple Podcasts website if you don't use an iPhone. There's a link in the show notes. If you got any thoughts on this episode or any ideas for new podcast topics, feel free to send a voice message. Alternatively, you can drop a tweet or DM on Twitter. Maybe you even like to join for an episode. Links are also in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.